Welcome to Goddardy. I'm your host, Nani Salas. Welcome to a new day, a new way, a new experience of God. Goddardy is about you and your relationship to God. Goddardy is a path, not the only path, but a path back to God, returning you to the God that has always been inside of you and is inside of you now. Maybe this is the God that you knew as a small child, or the God that you have been searching for your entire life, or maybe it's a God that you've never known, but somehow, deep inside, that you know exists within you. Within you. And so tonight, I invite you to open your mind and open your heart and let God in. Tonight, I invite you to explore what's possible in your life. I invite you to explore what's possible in your relationship with God. I invite you to explore how your life can change and expand and transform when you invite God in. So tonight, my invitation is for you to create an invitation for God, because God is always listening. God is with you now, and God has always been with you, listening to every word, every thought, every belief. So take a deep breath with me. And can you think about a time in your life that you experienced pure magic? When what happened to you was inexplicable, when what happened in your life was beyond logical, what happened was unbelievable, what happened was magic. Can you think of a time in your life where you experienced magic and nothing and no one could explain it? Maybe, just maybe, you were experiencing God's handiwork, the master creator at work in your life. And could it be that all real magic, and I'm not talking about the magic that you experience at a stage show or on TV. I'm talking about real magic. Could it be that the real magic that you have experienced in your life was God? And so we might refer to this kind of magic as a miracle, and certainly that would describe it for sure. But for tonight, I'd like you to just try on the word magic, because it has a slightly different energy than miracle. Magic creates a spark of excitement, and that is what I wish for you to experience tonight. I wish you to experience that spark of excitement. Often when we think about God or we talk about God, it brings us into a deep place within us, and certainly that is beautiful and divine, and many of Goddardy's shows are just about that, helping you to have a deeper, more profound experience with God. But there's also this type of magic. And this type of magic is this dancing inside yourself and dancing inside life, where you experience God in its, her, his, whatever you want to refer to God as, most magical expression. So think about a time in your life that you have experienced magic. Think about it clearly. And could this be God? Could this be God speaking to you? Could this be God showing you that he's listening? Could this be God having fun with you and giving you exactly what you needed when you needed it? So in just a little bit, we're going to explore this concept and find out how you can invite more magic into your life as you invite more God into your life, because they really are one and the same at the truest, most divine essence. So what I would like to do now is share an Osho card with you. Every show, I pick an Osho card, and Osho cards are from this beautiful Zen Tarot deck that I have, and I often do this just in my own life, where I will just choose a card, whether it's for the day or for a ceremony that I'm doing or for a client, and just, you know, see where guidance is taking us. And so just before the show, I drew a card with the intention of sharing it on the show. And the card is called Slowing Down. And on the card is a big giant turtle in some beautiful foresty area. It just looks like he's slowly walking. And the card says, "Meditation is a kind of medicine. Its use is only for the time being. Once you have learned the quality, then you need not do anything particular. Then meditation has to spread all over your life. Then what will be the quality? Watchfully, alert, joyously, unmotivated, centered, loving, flowing. One walks, and the walking is sauntering, loving, alert, watchful. One sits, unmotivated, not sitting for anything in particular, just enjoying how beautiful just sitting, doing nothing is. How relaxing, how restful. After a long walk, you sit under a tree, and the breeze comes and cools you. Each moment, one has to be at the ease with oneself, not trying to improve, not cultivating anything, not practicing anything, just walking, sitting, being, breathing, talking or silent, moving, unmoving. The essence is at ease. The essence is at ease. That is the key word. The essence is at ease. That is the statement. Do whatsoever you are doing, but at the deepest core, remain at ease, cool, calm, centered. When you choose this card, it is a time when you are ready to let go of any expectations you have had about yourself or other people, and to take responsibility for any illusions you might have been carrying. There is no need to do anything but rest in the fullness of who you are right now. If desires and hopes and dreams are fading away, so much the better. Their disappearance is making space for a new quality of stillness and acceptance of what is, and you are able to welcome this development in a way you have never been able to do before. Savor this quality of slowing down, of coming to rest, and recognizing that you are already at home. Slowing down. Slowing down. And so tonight we'll see how this concept of slowing down fits beautifully with magic. With magic. And if you would like to call in tonight and share your experience about God or share experience of magic in your life, or if you have a question and you would like to have answered about God or God or Jing, please call in. Or if there's anything that you would like to share in relation to God or Spirit, please call in as well. And the number to call is 530-327-7602. Or you can call the toll-free number at 888-815-9756. And that's in the U.S. and Canada. Again, that number is 888-815-9756. And I'd love to hear from you. Your presence is definitely welcomed here on God or Jing. And so, tonight, sharing this amazing conversation about the magic of God is my dear friend, student, and fellow flying free bird in the sky, Alina Schopp. Hi, Alina. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great, too.
I love that you describe me as your fellow free bird in the sky, because that's how I feel right now.
That's so awesome. And you know, what's interesting is I hadn't planned that, and I didn't actually know it was coming out of my mouth till I heard it come out of my mouth. And I was so thrilled, because that is so precisely accurate, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Yeah. I've been really excited to have you on the show tonight. We've never actually spoken about God. And it's so interesting to me, Lena, because who talks about God? You know, you don't talk, no one talks about God. And to have this opportunity to share this time and just talk about God and what God is to you and explore God in depth and share that with a population that really is not just over the United States, but throughout the world is pretty exceptional. And I feel so blessed and gifted by the divine to be able to have this experience and share it. So I know you had an amazing thing happen to you today, and I want to get to it. But first, I want to hear about your relationship with God and, you know, your upbringing and where you are now and whatever else you'd like to share.
Sure. So it's interesting that you can hear me okay?
Mm-hmm, I can. You're perfect.
Okay, great. So it's interesting that you said nobody talks about God, because my whole upbringing was people talking about God. Because I went to I went to Jewish Orthodox Hebrew school, And even though my family was secular, it was the only Jewish school in San Francisco at the time, and we had half the day in our classes, all we learned about was God, and the history of God and prayer. We started off in prayer. Women and men or boys and girls were separate. We learned all the books of the Jewish Bible, Jewish oral tradition, the Talmud. So we talked about God all the time. And it was interesting because here I was learning about God in school, and then when I'd come home at night, my parents had no idea what I was talking about. You know, so we would celebrate holidays in my school, and because my parents came from the former Soviet Union, there was no religious education there at all, which is partly the reason they sent me to Jewish school. And so I would come home and I would say, well, I want to celebrate Shabbat, which is Friday night Sabbath in the Jewish tradition. And they didn't know how to do it, so I had to teach them everything. And so I became kind of like their rabbi, and I became their kind of culture. And then my brother followed afterwards, and we taught them how to celebrate and be Jewish. Rather than in most households, the parents, you know, they show the children, and the children follow the path of the parents, not the other way around. So it's very interesting. And although I love the holidays, I felt that because there was so much conflict between what I was learning at home and what I was learning at school, I had a lot of questions for the rabbis, a lot of challenging questions. You know, why do we do it this way? Why do I have to do that? Why not this way? Why not that way? And in the Orthodox Jewish tradition, they're used to just not responding to those questions. It is because it is, and you just accept it. And that was really hard for me, and actually it was really hard for a lot of the kids in our school, and a lot of us graduated. I went from kindergarten through 12th grade in this kind of religious education, and a lot of kids graduated really despising Judaism because, first of all, it didn't teach them anything about God or their relationship to God. It just gave them rules, and a lot of the messages were around what you can't do versus what you could do and what, you know, God could provide for your life, etc. So I kind of lost my relationship with God when I went to college, and then after college, I decided to travel abroad to Israel, and I lived there for a year, and I found it again, but I found it in my own interpretation. And even though there were many rabbis there that I spoke with, and I celebrated all the holidays of our tradition, and I went to Kabbalah talks as well as, you know, talks about women and the Torah or the Bible. And then I kind of rediscovered it for myself, and I created for myself what I wanted Judaism to look like. And then I started reading a lot of Kabbalah, which is very spiritual and just fascinating, mind-blowing. And when I started reading Kabbalah, this is where it really intersects with magic. I felt that every step that I took in this life was my manifestation of it. It was so, I was around 23 at the time. Every person I met on the bus, every conversation I had, every conversation I overheard, every book I read, it was all related to something that I had been thinking about and manifesting. And it actually frightened me. So I stopped. I completely shut it out. And I felt that there was definitely energies around me, and I didn't know what to do with them, and I felt that maybe I wasn't mature enough or something, and I just completely stopped. And then years later, I started again going back into the Jewish tradition through the holidays and the life cycle events and finding different communities that I like. And my practice now, it's so interesting. I pray once a year, and it's during the high holidays, which is Rosh Hashanah, or the New Year. And I don't really pray. I just set an intention. And I set an intention on Rosh Hashanah, and I forget about it. But then come the next Rosh Hashanah, I write myself a letter, and then the next year, everything that I said as the intention has come true. And it's not that I set an intention, like this year, for instance, I set an intention to have more faith. And it's not that what I did was say, okay, I'm going to take more classes and I'm going to be actively seeking this intention. I just put it aside, and life kind of unfolds and brings it to me. Wow. And so it's really amazing.
Wow, beautiful.
It's really amazing. So that's my practice now, and I'm really starting to meditate more and to just open. And I feel that every time I'm open, where something about what the card said really struck me is when you kind of lose all the levels or something like that. When you're just being and you're, yes, there's nothing else, no filters, nothing, that's when magic, yes, happens. And so that's what I'm trying to create here. And it happens when I'm open, and it doesn't happen when I'm not open at all.
Yeah, it's almost like, when we're not open, we put a wall around us, and that magic can't get in, and that wall could be our beliefs or our fears or anything, stories we tell, even our identity, anything could create that wall and that barrier, and that's what actually keeps the magic out.
Exactly. And so when you did the meditation, what I thought about was Burning Man. Remember a time when magic happened. So at Burning Man, because all the walls are completely shattered in every dimension, basically you say something and it happens. And the example that I was thinking about was, I had a wedding at Burning Man 2 years ago, and I kind of created it there. And it was like an informal wedding, but I wanted it to be, you know, perfect. And so I was thinking, gosh, I really wish I had a wedding dress. And I literally looked up, and this girl was walking by with this beautiful white wedding dress. Mm. And you don't see those at Burning Man very often. And I ran up to her and I said, oh my God, I just said I wanted a white wedding dress. Where did you come from? She says, follow me. And there was a procession of women in white dresses.
Wow.
And I said, that's impossible. How could this happen? But that's the kind of magic when you're open that happens.
Absolutely. And now, for those who don't know what Burning Man is, because people are like, Burning Man, wedding dress, what, huh? What Burning Man is, it's a community that comes together, about 40,000 people and growing every year in the Nevada desert just outside of Reno. And in this week that happens every year around the same time, which is the last week of August into September, people come and they set up a whole community, and it's completely self-sustaining. And at the end of the week, nothing's left. Everybody brings is taken away. In that week is the most extraordinary experience. If you want to have an experience of God on earth, go to Burning Man, and it is a new paradigm. No money is exchanged hands. Everyone lives harmoniously together. It's not even about trade and barter. It's about gifting. And people go there to have a new experience of themselves, because all the past beliefs and all the past stories and all the past who they had to be in relation to their world and their family and their friends doesn't exist at Burning Man. And they get to try in a new identity, a new way of being. Burning Man is an artistic community where there's this beautiful art all over the place, some large pieces of art, where music is overflowing, where, you know, everybody feeds everybody, and that means, you know, physically food and love and nurturing, and everyone's your best friend. It is an amazing experience. And in fact, I love the fact you brought this up, Alina, because you and I met at Burning Man. Right?
That's true.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, that Burning Man it's a perfect setting for magic. And I think that should be the new Burning Man logo, you know, the perfect setting for magic. and you know, it's because you don't have the walls and you don't have the boundaries. And truly that we are capable of manifesting immediately, that as soon as that we have a thought, it's capable of happening immediately. And the only reason it doesn't is because we have all sorts of restrictions on how it should and needs to happen, so that it fits in with our paradigm and it makes sense and it, you know, doesn't scare us too much, because, you know, it's kind of scary to think that we really have that much power.
Exactly, exactly. Can I tell you a story right before Burning Man, actually? Mm-hmm. Yehuda and I, we were thinking about, because we got engaged at Burning Man the year before, and so we were going to Burning Man. I said, oh, wouldn't it be great if we had our wedding there? You know, I was all excited. He wasn't that excited, but I was. And right as I was saying that, I was checking emails, and my friend emailed me from work at the time, and he said, hey, come by our camp, the wedding camp.
Wow.
I said, what? What? Are you kidding me? And so it was, you know, it started, that's how it started. And then when we got there, it was one thing after another after another. It was so magical that we had our whole camp at the wedding. And then when we came back, there was my friend who's an accordion player, and his few friends were playing music, like live music, mm-hmm. at our camp. There was nobody there except for them, like, greeting us. They had no idea we had just gotten married. They had mm-hmm. no idea anything was happening, but it was, like, orchestrated perfectly. We came back to Jewish music. We started dancing, like, the Hora and all these Jewish klezmer songs. It was just, it was so amazing.
Wow.
And it happens there all the time. It happens in life all the time, but you're so,
in life
so
all
open
time.
There.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So many times, you know, exactly what we need is right there. When we drop the restrictions and we drop the have-tos and should-os, it's right there. And this truly is how God works. God is listening all the time. God is listening. God is listening. And how do we speak to God? You know, I think that most people go through their lives in denial or not in recognition that God is really listening. And so we're careless with our words, and we're careless with our thoughts, and we're careless with, you know, our energies that we put out there, both tangibly and even intangibly. And so God doesn't show up necessarily in ways that support our best and highest good. Well, I shouldn't say that God always supports our best and highest good, but what I should really say is support what it is that we truly want, because we're being careless in the signals that we're sending out. But when we become really conscious, and I believe we're doing this individually and collectively as a global society, we become really conscious about the thoughts and the words that we put out and we focus on, then suddenly we become these powerful, powerful creators, because truly God is listening and will bring to us exactly what we need when we need it, and often at the exact moment that we ask for it. But we have to remember to ask, and we have to remember also to speak God's language. I think that that's been overlooked for a long time in history, and it truly is a secret to creating magic, or manifesting, if you will. And, you know, what, of course, is God's language? What's God's language? Well, of course, it's the language of love. What else could it be? If God is love, then God's language is love. And if you want to speak to God and have God truly understand what it is that you're asking for, the way to speak to God is through the language of love. And that means raising your vibration to one of love. And so when we relate this back to, you know, being able to create magic at Burning Man, there is a light energy at Burning Man, and it is a very love-filled community. People from all over the world come there, and, you know, they let everything go, and they end up in this place of love. So, of course, if you're in the vibration of love and you're speaking in love, God's going to hear you right away and create magic for you. And, you know, I'm going to assume, Alina, that when you're talking about a wedding, what you're really doing is saying, you know, I love this person. I want to be with this person. So, of course, you were speaking the language of love. What else would you be doing?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know a lot about the Kabbalah, but I do know a little bit. And I love what you said earlier about every step is magic. That just come waking up to the realization that truly every step is magic. And so when you have this understanding that every step is magic, how do you live your life? What does that look like?
Well, everything is connected too.
Yes.
So everything is placed in your path in order for a reason. And then you start thinking about, you know, how are we all connected? What is the reason that I'm sitting next to this person? Mm-hmm. It was something happened to me a few weeks ago when I was on that vibration of, you know, everything's connected, every magic is happening all around me, where people were speaking in another language in front of me, and I knew that what they, even though I couldn't understand what they were saying, I knew that what they were talking about had relevance for me.
Mm.
And whatever the conversation was, it had said, like, you start to connect with everyone and everything, that there's a reason you're at a certain place at a certain time, meeting a certain person, having a certain conversation,
yes.
And then you start realizing that it's all just one anyway, which is God.
Yes. Yes. That everywhere you look is God. Of course, well, what else would it be? If everything is God, then everywhere you look, it must be God. And, you know, that is a magical way to live, when you can go out into the world and remember that everything's related and everything matters, that there's no accidents, that the person that you're standing next to, you know, in Starbucks waiting for coffee, there's a connection there. There's a reason why that person is there. And maybe it's you have some gift for them, emotional or otherwise, or maybe they have some gift for you, that when we understand that even the people that we pass by on the street that we never even talk to, that there's a reason for that everything is perfectly orchestrated by the divine, and there's no accidents in the universe, and there's no accidents in our lives, and we can capitalize on that, for lack of a better word. And what I mean by that is, with that awareness that everything matters, every moment matters, everything's interconnected, and every person that we come in contact with is important and crucial in exactly that moment, then we can start paying attention more. And I think that this is the difference between being awake and being asleep in our lives. Because when we just wake up in the morning and we think, oh, it's another day, and all the things I have to do and just get done, then we're not really living our lives. We're just going through the motions. We're like a robot, and chances are we are not feeling very good.
Yeah.
But when we wake up and we remember that we matter, and that every moment in our lives matter, and that we only really have life by the grace of God, that we only have life by the grace of God, then everything changes. And when we can bring to the table this realization, this memory, that every moment is precious and every moment is divinely constructed for you and your highest good and your awakening, then everything changes. Life changes. That there is this mystery to life that surrounds us and embraces us, and this mystery provides us with exactly what we need when we need it, beyond a shadow of a doubt. And this also includes, you know, some of those what we might consider, you know, negative things that happen. Because when we look back, we can see, like, those negative things that have happened in life really ultimately were for our highest good. Maybe we accepted that at the time and received the gifts, or maybe it took a while, or maybe we haven't, you know, received the gifts yet because we still resisted and have a story on it. But truly, there's nothing that happens in life that's not a gift. And in that sense, everything is magic. Every experience, every interaction is magic. It's magic that we're magic.
I would even say also that even our dream life is connected to our waking life. And for people who, I'm very interested in dreaming, and for people who, people tell me all the time they can't remember their dreams. And what I tell them is, well, be conscious of your environment and be alert of your environment, because what you dreamt the night before is likely to show up somewhere in your day. And it's just something, you know, it's something very magical, where it's not only that in our waking life everything's connected, but everywhere, even our souls are connected on all these levels. And it's really beautiful to see sometimes, you know, you dream about somebody and they call you the next day, or you dream about something and then you overhear a conversation. Well, if people want to remember what they're dreaming about, if they're just alert in their world, it'll come to them. That's, you know, the memory will come.
Wow, yeah, you know, Nina, I had never considered that, and that makes so much sense. That's brilliant. So you're saying that you take the magic of dreaming and you incorporate it with the magic of your life, and there are all the synchronicities and the synergies and connections, and it's not two separate worlds, that it really is one world.
It is. It is one world.
That's really amazing. Does the Kabbalah speak about that, or?
I have no idea. Maybe. Actually, I thought about it when I was just in Argentina. Usually when I travel, I dream quite a lot. And for some reason I wasn't dreaming at all. I was dreaming, of course, but I didn't remember. And then I saw a homeless person at the station. And I remember dreaming about the homeless person the night before. And then I said, okay, that's it. It's because now I'm aware of my environment. I was just sleeping through some of these, when you're traveling, it's kind of like a dream and awake. You're awake.
Mm-hmm.
And so I finally said, well, if I'm conscious, and then I started testing it, and it's true. Every time I would dream, I would remember my dreams in the morning, and then there they were right in front of me manifesting.
That's
not
beautiful.
Exactly like in my dreams, but you'd see the symbols everywhere.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
beautiful.
I'm sure Kabbalah speaks about dreaming, too. I just don't know.
That would be interesting to find out. I think I want to do some research.
Me too.
So I love what you said, Alina, about, that, you found God again on your own terms. And can you say a little bit more about that? Because I know that a lot of people who listen to Goddardy are in that place where, they maybe have had a relationship with God through a church or traditional religion, and they've since rejected that for whatever reason. And they're trying to figure out how to find God again. What do you have to say about that?
Sure. So a lot of things come to mind, but one of the things, and I think I've heard you say this before as well as others, is this idea that God is inside of you. And in Judaism, I remember that they did say that God is everywhere. They said God is everywhere. But it never felt like it was internal. It was kind of like an almighty, ever-knowing, sometimes even judgmental force. And then little me.
Yes.
So there was almost like a fear, a fear-based relationship, and that never really worked for me. And that, some scholars wrote books and laws that are in effect today, some of which actually do serve me and others don't. And so I started just evaluating and reading about other religions. And actually it's the best way to understand, creating your own religion is reading about others, other philosophies, other religions, traveling and meeting people from, tribal cultures, as well as just other philosophies on life, and just kind of assessing for myself. I think I finally came to the point where I feel like I do have all the answers, for me. And somebody else has all the answers for them.
Yes.
And there's not like one set of rules that we all need to abide by. And so kind of pulling from various sources to create it's like a collage of my own belief. And I still don't know exactly what it is 100%, but I work on it constantly. And I know that my intuition guides me. And I know that, I'm definitely connected. There's also this idea, I don't like the idea of separation at all between cultures and religions.
Yes.
So I know that I feel as connected when I go somewhere, a Catholic country, as when I go to a Jewish country, as when I go to a Muslim country. So there's something about the essence of humanity that really speaks to me. And that's kind of my experience of God is, who are you in your humanity, and how beautiful are you in that? And it doesn't really matter if it's through the filter of Islam or the filter of Christianity or the filter of religion I've never heard of before. It's just who your essence is. And so for me, the path has been trying to find my essence and how I share that essence with others and embrace other essences and souls. There's some Buddhism in there, there's some Zen, and there's Islam. I have many Islamic friends who they teach me something, and I incorporate what I like, don't incorporate what I don't like. So even though I still consider myself Jewish, I don't really identify with any religion. It's more of a cultural identity. My identity is with humanity and this timeless, eternal soul. And for me, I feel that if all you do in your life is to just become the best person you can be, that's religion, that's God, that's spirituality, that's whatever form that could be, through the form of art, it could be through the form of literature, it could be through the form of science, it could be through the form of doing nothing or picking flowers, you know, it could be in whatever form you want, but whatever speaks to you and following your heart and your intuition. And that for me is just like, that's why I want to continue learning, because I want to continue discovering my essence, and by me discovering my essence, I discover the essence of everyone else, and it's limitless.
Discovering the essence beyond the religion.
Beyond.
So do you think, do you have a vision that at some point in our history that people will stop fighting because of religions and stop trying to prove each other wrong or prove themselves right, and there will be a day that we truly do live as brothers and sisters and children of God?
Yeah.
Beyond religion, beyond traditions, that we come together finally.
Absolutely. And I think that was part of why I loved Argentina so much, is that you see the melting pot of culture. And you see it here in this country, too, in the United States. And you actually see it in Israel, even though it's mostly Jewish, but like just the melting of cultures. And then you start seeing features on faces and you can't identify where they're from because they have so many different types of cultural inspiration. And so it's beautiful. I mean, I think that's the most beautiful thing, is when cultures come together and break free of. And I think people in general don't have those perceptions like of hatred of each other. I think it's the systems and the governments that are creating that for power and authority or whatever, for whatever reasons. But I think if you go and talk with the people across any border, if you bring them together, and they're doing this a lot in Israel and Palestine, I'm sure they're doing it in India, Pakistan, I'm sure they're doing it around the world, where you bring kids or teenagers or women or young adults together, and you see it, you're just like me. Actually, we even look alike. And I think that needs to happen much more in the world. And when that happens from a grassroots level, then hopefully it'll dismantle what's happening on the governmental level. But I don't know. I mean, that's definitely my vision. Whether I'll see it in my lifetime, I sure intend to, in some way, in some form. Yeah.
I think that the more of us who envision it and imagine it and believe it, the quicker it will happen. And I have no doubt that it will be in our lifetime. I have no doubt that it's coming. And a lot of people could look around the world right now and could say, well, it sure doesn't look like harmony out there. It sure looks like a lot of war and dysfunction. And whenever we're about to have a huge shift, whether that's in our own personal lives, in our communities, or in the world, we often reach this threshold of chaos and crisis. And that's the breaking point. You know, it's like the oil spill now. People are paying attention to the earth finally. The earth's been, you know, calling out for us for a long time, and we've been abusing her. But now suddenly people are getting it because something has reached a crisis level. And there are other things in the world such as that. And I believe that with so much war and destruction and so much disharmony that we're really starting to pay attention to, and especially as women in particular start to take their power back, and women as mothers who really have a great desire for harmony and for protecting their children are beginning to make a stand as well. I think that people all over the world are beginning to see that there is God beyond religion, and very often religion actually keeps us from knowing God, and certainly not all religion, but many religions, or any religion that has judgment in it, any judgment whatsoever. You know, it's such an interesting thing, because as soon as we think we're right in the name of God and we have a judgment about anything, what's really happened is that we're moving away from God. And so this is very easy just to experience for yourself. And as you know, Alina, that as soon as we have a judgment for somebody, we experience a tightness, almost like our heart is closing. And when our heart closes, that means that we're moving further away from God. When our heart opens and we love freely and completely, then we're moving closer to God and it feels good. And in this way, it's brilliant because God is self-adjusting and we are self-adjusting. And what I mean by that is that if we close our heart, it doesn't feel good. And if it keeps not feeling good, eventually we're going to do something different to feel good because we all have this desire innately, intrinsically, to feel good. And when we do something to feel good, like open our hearts and drop judgment and just love and accept each other, it feels so good and it creates joy and bliss and we want more of that. And so we do more of that. And so we've reached this place in history that, you know, things have reached a chaotic and a crisis type paradigm for us as a planet collectively, and that doesn't feel good. And there are people all over the world, either directly or indirectly, experiencing those bad feelings and saying, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't like this. And so instead they're choosing love. And more people are choosing love. More and more people are choosing love from all different cultures, of all different religions, from all different parts of the world. And we will soon reach this amazing threshold where we will free ourselves as a planet. We will free ourselves. And in that freeing of ourselves, we will experience peace and harmony on Earth. We will experience the transformation of the planet. And the brilliant and amazing and magnificent thing about this is that each and every one of us, each and every one of us, yes, whoever you are listening to this right now, you have come here for just that reason, that we all have come to this planet for this special and particular and extraordinary purpose, and that is to bring in a new planet, one of harmony and peace, one of oneness. And the way in which we do this is through love. And love is God. We know that. God is love and love is God. And when we choose love, we choose God. And when we choose to open our hearts, we choose God. And when we choose to close our hearts or to judge another or even judge ourselves, then we don't choose God. Ultimately, we will all choose God. And it's happening so, so quickly now, so, so quickly. And truly, the intention of Goddardji is to help people move closer to God, to help people open their hearts, because it's the answer that we've all been looking for in our lives individually and collectively as the entire planet. And all you have to do to play your part and to fulfill your life's purpose is to choose love, because in choosing love, you choose God. And so, Alina, I love that you have traveled so much and that you have experienced so much culture and tradition. And what you see is love, no matter where you go, because the same is true for me. I've done a lot of traveling, too. And wherever I go, all I find is love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's, do you know who Karen Armstrong is? She's an author. She writes about multiple religions, and she was on TED Talks one time talking about something, and they gave her some money to create a project. And she created the project. It's called Charter for Compassion. And the Charter for Compassion, basically what she did, she studied religions intellectually. I think she was an academic, a PhD or something like that. She studied all the religions of the world, you know, where they stemmed from, all of the different beliefs. And she said that when she peeled everything apart, that the essence was compassion. Mm-hmm. And so she created this Charter for Compassion. She got world leaders who were religious world leaders to sign this charter that, you know, this is the way that we view our religion and just in general, being the best human being is through the realm of compassion. And it's so beautiful, you know, where you see this charter being signed by all kinds of religious figures who would normally fight amongst each other, but how can you fight when the topic is compassion or love? You know what I mean? Like, how can you debate that?
And it's you can't debate compassion.
And it's such a beautiful and inspiring project.
Mm. Yeah. Wow, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah. We'll have to get into contact with her and have her in Goddardji. That would be so awesome.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. So if you have any connections, let me know. That would be really beautiful. Yeah. And Alina, I want you to share your magical experience that you had today with everyone.
I will. So I was thinking today, well, I knew I was going to be on the show, and I've been listening, to the other shows, and I was trying to think about, you know, what would we talk about, and, you know, just kind of preparing, but not really, because there's nothing to prepare. And so I went to the gym and went to yoga, and there was a woman I was changing after yoga. And there's a woman who I see every once in a while. We just say hi to each other. We tend to like lockers in the same vicinity. And so she started talking with me, and we talked and talked and walked out together, and we started talking, and we were halfway down the street, and she started telling me this beautiful story. So her name means, she's of Mexican descent, and her first name means shining upon, and her middle name is Flower. So her whole name is Shining Upon a Flower. It's so beautiful.
Very beautiful.
So she's told me her name, and I kept forgetting it because it's not a common name. And so I kept asking her, what was your name again? How do you pronounce your name again? And then I knew the meaning, but I didn't know how to. And so we were talking, and she says to me, you know, so we started talking about the meaning of the name, shining, shining upon, like a ray of light from the sun. And so she says to me, you know, one time I was really just distraught completely. I gave up on everything. We literally talked for 15 minutes before. I don't know where it came from, but she said, I gave up on everything. And before I went to sleep, I got on my knees and I begged God to take my life. I just wanted him to take my life. And that night I went to sleep hoping that God would take my life. And then she said that night in her dream, she was also on her knees in her dream, and she was crying. She had her head in her hands, and she was crying, asking. And then she saw this shining light shining upon her. And she realized in her dream that shining light is her. It's her name. That's what she's here for. It's her name. It's what it means. And in that dream, she realized that she didn't want God to take her life, that she wanted to shine forth and, like, bring her light onto others, just like it happened to her in her dreams. Mm-hmm. So she woke up completely transformed. And then she said from that day on, you know, some days I have hard days, but from that day on, every day I think I am the light. I need to shine my light. That is my name. You know, it's literally and figuratively, they're both, it's her name. And it was such a beautiful story. And just the fact that we even met so that I can share her story with others, I think was magic. It's just so beautiful.
What a beautiful story, and this goes right back to that magic, that everywhere magic is happening and we're meeting exactly the right people at the exact time, and it's perfectly orchestrated by a divine, divine God who loves us more than we can even imagine. Wow. Wow. Alina, thank you so much for being on Goddergy tonight. You are a bright, 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 shining star, and I'm so glad you're in my life, and I love you so much.
I love you, too. Thank you.
And I'm sure you'll be on again sometime soon, so thank you, darling, and have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your night, and I'm sure you have brought so much joy to so many of our listeners.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
And I'm forward to flying in the sky with you some more.
Forever and always, flying high and soaring.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Thank you. And now I'm going to do a meditation that we usually do in the beginning, but we're going to do it now based on your story. So it was definitely worth waiting for. So thank you so much. And you can hang on, Alina, if you want to, or if you need to go, that's great, too. So, okay, so everybody, if you're in a safe place, if you're driving, don't do this, but you're in a safe place, please take a deep breath. And just exhale and just let go of the day's stresses. And take another deep breath. And just let go of the day's stresses. And another one after that. And as you exhale, loudly through the mouth or as loud as you can. Just let it out. Imagine that you are creating space in your body for a light to come in through the top of your head. And allow this light to come in through the top of your head. And imagine that you can look up and see where that light is coming from. And as you do, you see yourself. That it is from you and your very heart that this light is coming through. And you see yourself up above as this golden light of beautiful, beautiful, brilliant energy that is divine and perfect. And in this moment, you recognize that you are this light and you are love and that you love yourself. And with each inhale and exhale, you experience more and more love and light from yourself, that you are the shining light in your own life, that you are the shining light that loves you. You are the shining light. And if you look really close, beyond yourself, you see that there is a great divine presence also shining his light down upon all of you. The you that shines the light upon you and the you that is experiencing this light. That everywhere you look, there is light shining from you, from God. And in fact, if you look closely in your life and you think about the people in your life, you can see that this light is also shining from them too. That even if someone does not appear to be of love and light, if you look deep enough and you look closely enough, there's light there too. And so right now, invite all those that you love into this circle that you imagine around you. And this could be your children, your parents, your friends. And allow them to shine their light onto you, into your heart. And allow this light to go into your heart and through your whole body, experiencing light from head to toe. Perfect, beautiful. And now imagine that even those that you have experienced as unloving in the past, that invite their true selves or their true essence to also come around you, around this circle, and to show you their love for you. And it may be hidden, and it may be hard to see, but in this moment, you get to experience the love that they have for you, too. Because truly, when you look deep enough, all there is love, and that everyone is loving you. No matter what is happening in your life, you are being loved. You are loved by the divine, by God, through everyone and everything, whether that is clear and conscious, or not so clear and not so conscious, it is still there, nonetheless. And at this point, invite angels and guides and anyone else in who also has love to give you and shine love on you. And allow all their love to shine on you, into you, and experience that love from head to toe, from toe to head. And breathe into that. That you are loved divinely and perfectly by God and through everyone that God loves, which is everyone. And you shine your love onto everyone, because what you shine when you open your heart to God and you open your heart to others and you open your heart to love, what you shine is divine love. What you shine is divine light. Shine. Shine. You shine. And so I'd like to end with our prayer circle. And once again, imagine a beautiful golden circle of energy. And anybody who you would like to send prayer to, give prayer to, now imagine them walking inside of this golden circle, and that there is a beautiful golden light around this circle. And this could be friends or family or people that you don't even know. Maybe you've seen them on the street, or maybe there's someone that you casually see every so often. You could put anyone and everyone in the circle, including the earth. And in fact, tonight, I choose to put the earth herself in this circle and every being on this earth into the circle. and I talk to God, and I ask God to heal the planet and heal the earth and heal everyone on the earth to return to fullness and wholeness and the memory of who we really are, and to return the earth to wholeness and fullness and one of love and peace and truly heaven on earth. Heaven on earth, this is exactly what is coming. This is exactly what we are transforming our planet into. It is done, it is done, it is done. And take a deep breath. It is done, it is done, it is done. And so tonight, in ending Garuchi, I invite you to once again remember who you really are. I invite you to remember that you are love and you are light and you are that shining star, and that everywhere you go, you have the gift of love to give to everyone and everything. And everywhere you go and everyone you come in contact with, be that a person, a tree, or flower, or the air that brushes by you in sweet surrender, that you are being loved. That everywhere you go, nature and earth and everyone is loving you. And this is your invitation to look deep enough to see and experience that love. And remember that I love you, wherever you are, whoever you are. I love you. I love you. Please visit me on my site at nanice.com, that's N-A-N-I-C-E.com, for tons of articles on enlightenment and God and joy and happiness and faith and everything that you can imagine. All my shows are available archived for free, Chai with Nanice and, of course, Shkodaji and so much more. And there's a free book download called I Am that will bring you to a new experience of God and a new experience of what is possible. And there are song downloads. The theme song for Garuchi, which is Secondhand God, is available on my website as well, along with When That Day Has Come, both by the Ascension Tribe. So don't forget to get those songs, to download the book. And while you're there, click on the pledge, watch the video, take the pledge. It will change your life and help you change the world. And remember, you are the change. You are the difference. You have a purpose, and it is just loving and being love and vibrating love. Till next week, you have been listening to Garuchi. I'm Nanice. Have a beautiful week. Bye for now.